Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the book of Judges, thereof chapter 15, and the first three verses of chapter 16. But before that, we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Judges chapter 15 and the first three of 16. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited with his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines, and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he hath taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are ye come up against us? And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam, and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistine shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men." And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramath-Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, "Samson is come hither." And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, "In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him." And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Janni van Warthausen, who came home from the hospital, but who must continue with treatments. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, thou art very great, and thou art majestic, and thou sittest upon the throne of thy glory. Everything in this world is subject unto thy providence. Thou who art ruling, and thou who art upholding, and thou who art directing everything to a certain and determinate end. And thou knowest the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us also. And Lord, wilt thou remember us in all the needs and cares of life. But we come here upon thy Sabbath day in a special way that we may receive a blessing for our soul. Oh, thou knowest our hearts by nature have no desire for thee, that there is no need for thee, that our religion is nothing more than a form and custom in which we have been brought up since the days of our youth, and which for conscience sake we do not forsake. But oh, that it may become more even in this day, and that thou with thy Holy Spirit and may break the hard and stony hearts that lie within us, that we may be raised from the dead, and that we may receive that desire that we have sung of together, which thou hast planted in the heart of thy servant, that he did long for thee even more than those that watch for the morning. Oh, that our hearts also may desire in this morning hour an indispensable blessing out of thy heavenly store. Lord, if thou shouldst mark transgression, O Lord, then who can stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And may that also be experienced in the life and in the hearts of young and old among us. Many callings are coming unto us. We have heard it also even in the moments that are gone by. Another accident within the community. The callings, they are coming week after week. So that thou sayest unto us, and that we have here no continuing city. Oh, that we ought to seek one to come. Oh, give then, Lord, an impression, a saving impression in our hearts. Raise us up from the dead. Grant us life within. Give us desires that do not live in us by nature. For we are world seekers. We are sin seekers. We live in our element as we have been born. Except thou dost begin from thy side. Except thou dost come and stretch forth thy mighty hand, raising us from the dead and granting us a life that shall never die. Oh, glorify thyself, O Lord. Glorify thy strength in breaking the bands of our death. Oh, do glorify thy wisdom in instructing us who are so utterly ignorant of thee. Oh, do glorify thy justice in forgiving all our sins. Magnify thy grace and thy mercy in washing away the iniquity and cleansing the most vile and the most wretched among us, whose sins do come up before thee. O Lord, teach thou us in our hearts. Instruct us in all thy truth. Make us upright before thee, and give us a true desire, and give us a true need. Wilt thou cause us to be drawn away from all that is passing away, all that is so vain that we seek after in this world? Open our poor blind eyes that we may see. Open our hearts and give us love for thee within. Remember those and that are afflicted and needy in this world. Thou knowest her that has been in the hospital once again, and thou hast brought her safely home. But many are her needs, for mind, for body. Oh, that thou may remember her in mercy, and wilt thou supply that she may also receive the strength to take care of her husband, her children once again. And also, if it could please thee, to bring her up as is the desire of her heart, one day even into thy house once again. But wilt thou feed her also out of thy word in that place where she is in her own home? Remember her with her family together, and all the needs and all the concerns, and all that are afflicted. We lay before thee once again all those that mourn. Lord, thou knowest those that have stood again at an open grave. Wilt thou remember and supply all those that do miss their loved ones and who must live it in more and more, day by day and week by week. Lord, wilt thou be on the right and on the left, and supply as we, as miserable comforters, are not able to supply. Lord, wilt thou remember all the afflicted and all those that are sick, those that receive treatments for serious diseases. Wilt thou supply for those that are persecuted for the sake of thy name over the face of this earth. Wilt thou give courage and strength to continue? And wilt thou supply for the day as thou alone art able? Lord, we may acknowledge thee that thou hast given us a little strength again, that it seems that thou givest, that we may be able once again to do our work. O Lord, we may make a little beginning. Wilt thou give an increase that we also may go forward as aforetime, that we may be able to go in and out continually amongst this our flock, and that thou may bless the labors of our hands. Wilt thou remember those who hope to be married in the coming weeks? Thou knowest all the sorrows within that family. O Lord, that thou may supply, as also their life that must continue, and as there will be joys that are mixed with sorrows, and that thou may remember them all together. Lord, be with us in this morning. Give what is necessary to bring thy word for a little while. Wilt thou set us apart a little while? Take away the buyers, take away the sellers, and everything that can hinder. And wilt thou give a love for thee? And give that thy word may receive a precious place in our hearts this morning, and that it may be for the comfort of those who are distressed, for those who are needy, and that it may be as an arrow shot in the heart of those who are carelessly going over this world in the state in which we have been born, and that it may be the day of thy good pleasure. Visit us, O Lord, and with thy salvation and all thy sent servants and the students. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offerings will be received, we'll sing from Psalter 188 all the stanzas. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. We make the following announcements. This is the second wedding announcement of Emmanuel Kasha Halwa and Jacqueline Brunn, who hope to be united in holy matrimony on May the 12th. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by this coming Tuesday, May the 9th. And this is also the first wedding announcement of Gerald Brunn and Janelle Van Hagenbos, who hope to be united in holy matrimony on May the 19th. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, May the 16th. Psalter 188, all the stanzas. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Judges 16, and thereof the third verse, Judges 16, verse 3. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. So far the words of our text. Our theme is the doors and bars of Gaza carried away. First, we want to see that it is by the power of Samson. And in the second place, and that it is by the power of Christ. The bars and the doors of Gaza carried away, first by the power of Samson, and second by the power of Christ. We read, congregation, in Genesis 5, the fifth verse, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Again in verse 8, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Again in verse 11, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Again in verse 14, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Again in verse 17, and all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. That is a message that has not changed. It hasn't changed over the 6,000 years that this world has existed since the fall. And how many times have we not heard it? Also in the weeks that have gone by among us, and he died. How many of those in those 6,000 years do we think had a desire to die? Paul, he says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That is not what we seek after. It is that which we fear. It is that which we resist. Skin for skin, even Satan said, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. And yet, it happens anyway. And yet, as that death that is approaching, then it is experienced, as Solomon writes, that no man hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has he power in the day of death, and that there is no discharge in that war. There is no ingenuity of man that is able to prevent it. There is no love of all those that stand around a deathbed that is able to prevent it. And after death has overcome, then there is no man in those 6,000 years that has been able to break those bands and to come out of that stronghold. That is the strength of death Solomon, he wanted to speak about love. And he wanted to speak about the strength of love, how strong that love is. He tried to find something that was comparable in its strength to love. And what did he find? Death. So that he said that love that is strong as death, it is as bands. So that a man, Paul says, even through the fear of death, is all his lifetime subject to bondage. And if it is only by the fear of death that we are subject to bondage, then what is, how much more death itself? What man will not feel his helplessness under these bands? There is more, children, than temporal death. We know that. There is also, we read in God's word, an everlasting punishment. Thus, the word of God that is speaking about an eternal death. And what man has ever delivered himself out of that eternal death? And then there is also spiritual death. And what is spiritual death? Our young people know it because they learn it in their catechism book of Reverend Hellenbrook. What is now spiritual death? In the first place, it is separation from God's favor. And in the second place, it is, do you remember, young people? In the second place, it is impotence in sin. Impotence. So potent means powerful. Impotent means helpless. Powerless. Powerlessness in sin. Is that what you experience your life to be? Paul, he felt that impotence in sin, even in that new life. When he said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And he grieved over that impotence in sin. By nature, we do not realize how impotent that we are in sin. Why not? Because sin does not grieve us. And because we have not truly entered into that warfare against sin. So that actually we think that we have the strength, if we would so desire, we have the strength to overcome it. But we have never put forth more than the least feeble efforts in order to overcome sin, and therefore we do not know our impotence in sin, and we do not know our spiritual death. And that is now what becomes different by grace. When a man begins to grieve for his sin, when a man begins to grieve over the separation from the Lord, when a man desires to take that separation away, and when a child desires to live no more in sin, is that also your life, boys and girls? And then we will experience our impotence in sin, and then it shall become a bondage unto us. We see a picture of that, of the children of Israel, when they are laying in bonds in the land of Egypt. And you may ask them, do you desire to be delivered from those bonds? There will not be one who will not say, certainly, if we may be made but a free people, but a desire to be delivered and the ability to deliver oneself, they are certainly two different things. Then they experience their helplessness under those bonds. And if we never have experienced our helplessness under the bonds of sin, then we should not number ourselves among the children of Jacob. Because then actually we are still in the freedom of the heathen Egyptians. And there is no such thing as being delivered and set free from freedom. No, those who are set free are those who are in bonds. Those who are set free are those who feel those bonds, who experience those bonds, and whose cry that comes up unto heaven because of those bonds. Here in this chapter, we read of a man who was locked up in the city of Gaza. Who is that man? That is Samson. What is he doing there? That is sad. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. God-fearing man, Samson was. And a God-fearing man, he is not exempt from temptation, and he is not exempt from falling. What was the character of Samson? I will ask that to the children. Boys and girls, if I say the name Samson, then you say what? He was what kind of a man? You will say he was a very strong man. That was now the character of Samson. Strongest man we read of in all the scriptures. And over all time. And yet, that was a man that could not stand before a woman. Such is the power of lust. Very, very strong. And saw there in harlot. That was the temptation. It came through his eyes. There's a temptation. Come to the men, to the boys, girls? Does that temptation come to men through their eyes because of you? Because of what you wear or what you lack to wear? Because if we are the cause of the sin that lives in the heart of others, then we are also accountable unto God and will have to give an answer to God, even though that sin that remained within the heart of a man and never came out into action, when we are the cause, then we also will give an account. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither, and they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Why did the Gazites, why did the Philistines want to kill Samson? Well, because actually they were enemies, right? Israel, they were in subjection to the Philistines, and the Philistines had every desire to keep those Israelites under their subjection. But Samson, he was a resistance to this. And Samson, he was very, very strong, and the Philistines, they were actually afraid of Samson. And now we read that they hear that Samson, he has come into that city of Gaza, and the Philistines, they begin to rejoice. And why do they begin to rejoice? They begin to rejoice because Samson has now come into a city with bars and gates and walls. And that is not only any city, because Gaza, the name Gaza, that means strong. That was probably the first of the five major cities of the Philistines. It was a very powerfully strong city. It was a city that had strong walls and gates and bars, and therefore it was called Gaza, strong. And now Samson is within that city. And now the enemies, they begin to rejoice. We read, they come past him in, they surround him, they lock the gates. They wait for him all the night, and they are ready to kill him in the morning. Oh, surely those Gazites, they are confident now that they have their prey. Surely they now can overcome him. He is not able to escape anymore because he is now just like a rat in a trap. Those gates, those bars, they are as the death bands of Samson. And surely that enemy will not open those bands to let this man escape. But what do we read? And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And what is now that obvious impression that the Holy Scriptures do give unto us, that is the ease with which these bands are broken. There is not the slightest ruffle of uneasiness or disquietude when Samson, he is approaching those gates and he sees that those gates, they are locked. But it is with utter confidence and self-assurance that Samson, he approaches these gates. There is no hesitation. There is no flinching. There is no sign of fear. There is no drawing back. We do not read of a first attempt unsuccessful, a second attempt unsuccessful. He must try three. He must try four times. No, simply we read that he took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all. Bar and all. What does that mean? That means if those gates, they will not come off their hinges, then he will take the hinges with them, and he will take the foundation with them, and he will take with them everything that is necessary in order to completely remove those gates. The great ease by which the enemy's strongest bulwarks, they are taken down, they are broken by Samson. They are plucked up from the roots as a man would pluck a chicken of his feathers. Now what does he do with those doors? We read, he carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. That was a hill that lay to the east of Gaza, between Gaza and Hebron, and which could be seen from both of these cities. And what is now the prophet? Well, when he carries those gates up to the top of this hill, then it is for a display. Then it can be seen both in Hebron and it can be seen in Gaza. It can be seen by the enemies of God's people, and it can be seen by God's people themselves. What Samson has done. Thus, it is for a terror on the one side, because it is a foreboding of the destruction of the enemies of God's people. But it is on the other side for a great comfort. A great comfort for whom? Well, for that people of Israel. Because this is now a people who knew very well that they were under subjection. This is a people who have admonished Samson. Knowest thou not that we are subject to the Philistines? They feared. They had no faith to be able to believe that the Lord would deliver them out of the hand of the Philistines. Then they said to Samson, "We do not want our distress to increase." They felt their own weakness, they felt their own helplessness, they felt the power of that enemy. When Samson was born, then we read, children, that his mother and father may not do what? Say they may not cut his hair. Why not? Well, he was to be a Nazarite unto God, and the promise of the Lord was that by this Samson, the Lord would begin to deliver his people out of the hand of their enemies. Thus, Samson was revealed as the deliverer of his people, that people who felt the strength, the power of that enemy, who lived in their own wretchedness, in their own misery, under bondage to that enemy. And now for a moment, that great strength of Samson may be displayed. I think they have not all seen that. But were there now some of that people? Were there now some of that remnant that did mourn under the suppression of the heathen, of the wicked, of the enemy, in all their desire, and who knew something of that promise of the Lord, and who may even from afar off be given to see something, or even perhaps to hear of that deed of Samson? And when he is standing upon that hill and displaying to them that great strength to give them that hope that the promise of the Lord indeed would be fulfilled. But it does not end with Samson. Because Samson, he is only pointing to a much greater strength and power. But we want to consider that after we sing Psalter 353. Now Israel may say, and that in truth, if that the Lord had not our right maintained, if that the Lord had not with us remained, when cruel men against us rose to strive, we surely had been swallowed up alive. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 353. Christ. In Matthew 12, he said that the Queen of the South came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Thus, Solomon was a type of Christ in the greatness of his wisdom. And Samson, children? Samson, he was a type of Christ in the greatness of his strength. Thus, the attributes of Christ, one by one, displayed before the church of God already in the Old Testament time, and for their hope and for their encouragement. There is no perfection in the types, but there is perfection in the anti-type. When Christ lay himself down in the grave, the enemies rejoiced, and God's people lamented. Why? Why? Because of the strength of death. The strength of death. Therefore, the enemies rejoice and God's people lament. The enemies, they thought for sure that they had him. They compassed him in. They put sentries all around. They laid wait for him all the night, in suspenseful, in anxious apprehension, but also in a certain expectation. They already began to sing because of that strength of death. Now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. The mourners who are among us, they experience the finality of death. And they understand why that David, when the child died, ceased to pray. That is the strength of death. Solomon, he talks about the cruelty of the grave. Are there not parents who have stood at the edge of the grave of their children and would have jumped into that grave themselves? But congregation, the gates and the bars of death, they are not such as a man is able to overcome. That is the experience of all men. That was the experience also of the disciples. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. We read that there was a great stone that was rolled to the door of the sepulchre of Christ. That is a picture of the strength of death. A picture of the power of the grave. The bands of death. But then we read it so simply that an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. Christ, he approached those gates from within that stronghold of death without the slightest ruffle of uneasiness, without the slightest ruffle of disquietude. As he approached those gates from within, he says, I have power to lay down my life. And I have power to take it again. And so he took hold of those doors of the stronghold of death. And the two posts. And he laid it upon his broad shoulders. And he carried it away. Bar and all. The scriptures, they speak. They display for us the great ease wherewith Christ, he has overcome the enemy's strongest bulwarks. What is now stronger? What is the strongest bulwark that Satan has? It is death. And when he has a man in death, he will never let him go. But then we read of the ease by which those death bands were broken. So that we read that death that is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron, our text that prophesies of the great strength of Christ against all the powers of the enemy, against the powers of hell itself. Paul, he says that Christ, he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Was he not always the Son of God with power? Certainly he was. From eternity. But he was now declared to be the Son of God with power. Declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. For what purpose? There was a purpose for the terror of the enemy, but especially for the comfort of his people, that may observe something of his destruction of those bands and his carrying away of even the foundation of death itself, which is sin. That is now a power that we commemorate, say on Easter, yes. But it is a power that we commemorate every Sabbath day Why? Because we meet children not on Saturday, not on the seventh day, but we meet on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Why? That is a commemoration of the power of the resurrection. And therefore, every Sabbath day, when you may come through the doors of the house of God, that is now for your encouragement. Why? Because there is a people who experience death within themselves. That is for the first time, but also by renewal. That is, in the first place, in the state of death, but also in the second place, in the condition of death. Do you experience that too? And what power does a man have against that death? What power do you have against that death? The bride, she says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Indeed, she was not dead. She was sleeping. That is the closest to death that we come in our daily life when we go to sleep at night. Are you ever afraid you wake not up in the morning, children? I sleep, but my heart waketh. She is in the state of life, but she is in such a condition of deadness. Deadness. And she is not able to arouse herself out of that deadness. The gates, the bars of death are of such strength that the church of God, they are not able to overcome them. That is to their grief, that is to their sorrow. But Ezekiel, he was commanded by the Lord to prophesy to his people who were laying in captivity. And he had to say to them in their discouragement, oh my people, I will open your graves. It was called a grave. I will cause you to come up out of your graves. Why did he prophesy? That was for the hope of the people. Could they deliver themselves from those bands? Were they stronger than the enemy? Oh, they wish to be delivered, but to wish to be delivered and to be able to deliver myself are certainly two different things. But for their encouragement, the Lord, he says, I will do it. I will open your graves and I will cause you to come up out of your graves. Young people, do you ever desire the life of God's people? Do you ever desire that you may have spiritual life? You say, I hear what they say. I hear what lives in their heart. And my heart, that is cleaving to everything that is in this world. If I am honest with myself, I have no love for God. Oh, I wish also I had love for the Lord. I wish also I had a true desire for his day. I wish also that it would please me to read, to search his scriptures. That would live within me, that would burn within me. Do you pray to the Lord? Oh Lord, remember me with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Do you feel your death? Do you feel your separation from the Lord? Do you feel your impotence in sin. Say that is in me. And though I have a desire to remove it out of me, I am not able to remove it out of me. You will hear people, they will say, well, believe. You must believe. Is that right? Yes, that is right. That is right. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Or indeed, we must believe. But did we ever now experience the impossibility of believing? Did we ever experience that we are in a state of unbelief? Because the desire and the ability, they are certainly two very, very different things. What are we called to believe? Oh, if we would only believe our need for Him. Do you believe that? If we would only believe our need for His great strength. If we would only believe our need for His power. If we would only believe that we are dead. That we are dead in trespasses and in sins. If we would only believe that, truly believe that. If our cry would come up to God out of our bondage. If we may feel something of that death state and the bands that surround us that we are not able to break. Believe it, congregation, because if we never come to believe this in our life, we are going to die as we have been born. Are there those that believe it? Does the Lord teach you something? Are you given to feel something of those bands? Maybe your heart that despairs already. Because you are not able to break that band of spiritual death that binds you to this earth. But in your need, may you ever behold for a moment that greater Samson. When he is standing upon that hill with the doors and the bars of Giza in his hand. Because that is now the way that he reveals himself to his people. He brings them up there. And he stands on that hill. Purposely, not only as a terror for the enemy, but he stands there for his people that are in distress, that have no power, that have no ability to deliver themselves. And he says, look upon me. He says, look upon my strength. Look what I've come to do. He stands there that discouraged people, they may behold him. That they may look upon him. And that their heart may be encouraged. May you ever see him there? May you ever see him there standing in his beauty? standing in His strength, standing in His power. Did you ever see how that all the power of that enemy, that is much too powerful for you, that is as nothing in His hands? Maybe you have seen Him only very far off. Just a glimpse. Just for a moment. But you saw Him there in His majesty. You saw Him there in His power. And then all your weakness and all your impotency that fell away. And in that moment, then your heart that may leap for joy in the prospect of His salvation. Oh, if we know what that means, for our heart to leap for joy at the sight of Him. Oh, then we are not a stranger of that blessed refuge-taking faith, if it may be but for one moment in our life. Do you know what we say then? If our eye has seen Him for a moment, then we say, He is the one I need. He is the one. For His strength that is made perfect in my weakness. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said to Martha? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, put them upon his shoulders, carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give a little encouragement to those that are distressed, to those who are weak, to those who feel their impotency, to those who grieve under their separation from Thee, and who are so helpless to remove sin from their heart and life, and who are not able to cleanse themselves, and who are not able to break the bands of hardness and deadness and coldness. Thou who art almighty, Thou who has conquered death, hell, and the grave, Thou who has done as Thou hast promised and bruised the head of the serpent, send forth Thy Spirit to us and to our children. And when there is death in the congregation, a spiritual death from which we cannot deliver ourselves and our children, we beseech Thee, O Almighty God and Mediator of Thy Church, that Thou wouldst break those bands this day and deliver us together, and we will glorify Thy name. We may acknowledge Thee, that Thou hast brought us again here upon our pulpit, and that Thou hast strengthened us to bring Thy word this morning. Lord, wilt Thou help further? Increase our strength. Remember the student who hopes to go before us in this afternoon. Be Thou on his right and on his left hand, and wilt Thou bless Thy word by his mouth, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 389 stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in Thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. And what follows in 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 389. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.